Ever since A Change of Tune started, we've had a list of folks who we've wanted to talk WV music and pepperoni rolls with. Last week, we had the pleasure of marking one of those names off of our list when we chatted with the self-proclaimed red-haired stepson of the Huntington music scene, Americana rocker Tyler Childers. We talked about his history with Huntington's V Club, his band's forthcoming debut on Mountain Stage, and how his future might just involve chickens. So I guess we'll just go ahead and start off. Thanks for, you know, being a part of West Virginia music scene. I mean, I think you've contributed a lot to the scene in, over the years, and especially Kentucky, too. But I guess now you're kind of a surrogate son of West Virginia. And I think this Mountain Stage gig this coming weekend is almost like the next logical step for you. It kind of shows just the amount of strength you've had over the years just working through the industry. So good job on that.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, I'm from Kentucky originally, but I mean, I've pretty much started playing music in Huntington, so redheaded stepchild of the Huntington music scene.
And you mean it literally, because you are a redhead. It's not like It's not like you're not loved. It's you are loved, but you also happen to have red hair, which is very nice. Yeah. Looking at pictures, I can't wait to meet the hair in person on Sunday at the show. So you just talked a little bit about it. Can you go into more detail about how you started up in music?
Yeah, I grew up in church singing and took an interest in guitar when I was five. Pat Pop got me a little guitar, and I fiddled around with it for a bit, but I kind of put it down until I was like 13. Then I really started getting serious into playing guitar and writing songs and singing and singing out in public wherever I could. And once I graduated high school, kicked around here and there in MHOD. Me and my dad went to the Todd Snyder show at the V Club. I saw they had open mic on Wednesdays and started going there, started meeting people, and got my first gig at Shoops, opening up for the Deadbeats and Barkers.
And with Deadbeats and Barkers, how did you, was it like some sort of convincing them, like, hey, we should team up and do this new band? Like, how was it that you were able to get together to form Tyler Childers and the Food Stamps? What was that negotiation process like?
Well, our first show together, Jack Browning, he used to do the booking and all the stuff there at Shoops back when he was here and that was still a bar. That show that I opened for him, he had made a joke that we should start a country cover band and call it Tyler Childers and the Food Stamps. And it was kind of like an inside joke for, I guess, 3-4 years. We'd run into each other at the bar and just be like, so when's the Food Stamps practice, you know? And finally, after 3 years, we decided, well, maybe we should do that. And we did two gigs together, just country covers. We did Willie and Hank and old gospel tunes. And Rod Elkins, the drummer, put us in the running for the Buckle Up Festival, did a sonic bid, and we ended up getting it. We ended up getting a spot on Buckle Up Festival, and figured we probably shouldn't show up to a festival like that and just do covers. So we started doing my original material and had so much fun with the fellas, and it went over well, and so we just decided we'd keep doing it. And we've been playing since then, playing my original music as well as some covers here and there.
Was there ever going to be another name for Tyler Childers and the Food Stamps? Like, how did you know that was the right one to go with?
Really, probably, if you ask my mother, it's not the right one. It's kind of just like a bad joke that stuck. You know, it started out as Tyler Childers and the Food Stamps just for fun, and then it kind of just stuck. So I don't know, for the time being, until something else comes up, that's what we are.
Well, it's great. I guess it definitely fits that kind of Americana country vibe, but in a funny way. Like, it is poking fun at itself. But the thing is, your music, it kind of does that too. I mean, there's one song I really like called Messed Up Kid. And you're talking about a woman who's dancing around in a cheetah print bodysuit. And that song's great. It's funny in a catchy way. Is that how you kind of approach your songs? Are there some sort of real life experiences attached to it? Are you trying to make it kind of a bit of just homegrown humor in, you know, reality? Like, where does that come about?
Here lately, it seems like my writing has been leaning towards the humorous side of things, but that's the stuff that's been coming to me. Some of it's based on life experiences mixed with tall tales and other people's misfortunes or stories that they tell me. Up until recently, most of my stuff was, that guy with the guitar country about, you know, cheating and drinking and all that stuff. But here lately, it's been more lighthearted, which is good. I like it.
Yeah, speaking of which, I want to talk about Charleston Girl, because I feel like that was kind of an entry point for some people to get into your music, especially for West Virginians, since it is about Charleston, West Virginia. Can you talk a little bit about that song, what it means to you, and how it came about?
Yeah, I wrote that song pretty early on in my experience hopping bars and playing music and meeting that scene. And, here I was, 18-year-old Free Will Baptist kid, being introduced to stuff that I'd never seen or never would have imagined, and just wild experiences, you know. And Charleston Girl was kind of based on one of those wild experiences.
Well, in one point of the song, you say, "All I know is that when I'm good and sober, I'm leaving West Virginia for a while. Don't know why, but every time I cross that river, Lord, there's something tears me up, makes me wild." Do you still think that holds true, or do you think that was maybe just that period of time when you're writing and playing music?
Well, I still get into orneriness every now and then. You know, it usually finds me at the right time, but not as often as it used to. You know, I've become a little bit more responsible, I would hope. But yeah, that was definitely more of that time of my life kind of song.
And now you're mature and you're older. You're now 23 or 22?
24.
24. My gosh, you're an old man.
I'm telling you, I'm more mature and more responsible depending on who you ask and on what day.
Well, and you've started out so young. Not saying like so young, but you started off young and almost like a short amount of time-ish, you've been able to grow this audience base and take up all these experiences and put them into song. And I mean, that's great. That's really cool. I don't know if a lot of 24-year-olds can say that about their music, but you've traveled and you're getting a lot of press, a lot of acclaim, and you should be getting it. And then, of course, this weekend, it just, like I said before, it just seems right that you're finally getting to this point.
Well, I appreciate it. I've been, been the only thing I've been doing since I got out of school, really, is working the odds and ends jobs and staying out on the road and playing music to whoever and listen whenever I could. And I've met a lot of really awesome people, made a lot of friends that, you know, have supported my music and brought people out to shows and spread the word. And I mean, it takes getting out there and making fans, making friends, you know, making people in every town to help you spread the word.
Has there been a difference in the audience reaction to you playing music and making music, say, in West Virginia compared to Kentucky? Is there a difference between making and playing music between those places?
I don't reckon. I mean, two big places that I usually play is Lexington, home base in Kentucky, where I play a lot, and Huntington is in both places. I got a lot of friends I've known for a while, more so in Lexington. I have old friends from growing up that have moved to Lexington, and I lived there for 4 years, so I met a lot of people there. And then Huntington, I've been playing there for I guess 5 years or something like that. So, I mean, in both places, I have a good foundation, I feel like.
Is there going to be a time when you're thinking, I'm going to move away from the state or from both states and try something different? Maybe, I don't know, New York, or maybe on the West Coast, just going somewhere completely different? Or do you see yourself staying in this like region for a while?
No, if I have my way, I'll be staying here. I'm hoping to move out closer to Lexington here in a couple of years, in Jackson County. I'd like to have a little piece of land and chickens.
That's adorable.
And work on my music.
Oh, and then you could like sing to chickens, and they can like bawk to let you know that they like what you're playing. That's adorable. Is that like kind of like you're wanting to be kind of a little bit of like a farmer, or is that just like to have like kind of an open space, something that's a little bit more outdoors?
Oh, I'd like to have my own space at some point in life. Like that's later on. Right now I just gotta keep plugging away.
So are you I guess you would say you're like the primary songwriter, and then you just kind of bring it up to the rest of the band and you say, hey guys, like what do you think about this? Like how's that collaboration process?
Yeah, I just write what I can, and then I'll bring a song up to the band, and we'll go through it and work on everybody's parts, you know. And yeah, I'm primary songwriter. As far as the sound goes, I mean, it changes as it changes. You know, James got a new guitar the other day. It was a real nice guitar, and wanted to start using it, and we liked the way it sounded better than his other guitar, so, you know, just happenstance, but it changed.
And what about Molly Lynn Page? I mean, she kind of brings in a non-rocking aspect to the band. Like, how would you say her position is in the band? Like, what do you think she kind of adds to it?
She adds taste and culture. Well, she does. Yeah, I tell everybody that when she's not busy being an amazing violin player, she slums it and plays fiddle with us. She's an amazing talent, and I'm really glad that she is playing with us and takes care of our bass player, Craig. They're getting ready to move to Miami, which will make it hard, you know, to keep everything going and rolling, but I believe we've got it worked out, at least for the time being.
Okay, so she, with her moving down there, and then Craig is also in the band, are you guys going to meet halfway in between to record music? Are you going to do it remotely? What's your idea? What's the plan for that moving forward?
The plan for that is she's going down there to go to school, and Craig's going down, and he's going to work odds and ends jobs and here and there and whenever he can. And the game plan is, whenever Molly's not in school, she's going to go on the road with us. When she is, we'll find somebody else to step in her spot, maybe not a fiddle, maybe another, you know, maybe a mandolin, maybe a banjo, maybe a lead guitar. I mean, something will happen there. And when Craig can't come up with or without Molly, then we have a couple other bass players to look at. We've got options.
Well, I guess that's the good thing about this regional scene. It seems like if any kind of band changes occur, you always have friends in other bands to help you out. You know, you can form like different little groups from it. Because it seems like with like, you know, the Huntington music scene, everyone is in like three or four different bands. So if they need someone else for help, they can just grab someone in and they're good to go for the rest of the night. So I guess that's a plus of being in this kind of like a friendly area. Everyone's wanting to help you out and be a part of the team if you're down one player.
Yeah, that's a good thing about the Huntington scene in particular, is they are all tight-knit and close friends and help everybody out. You know, I'm blessed that I got to, I guess, grow up and cut my teeth in that scene, because I've met other music scenes that weren't near as friendly, more of Cutthroat Clydesdale.
So since you started off so young, do you have any advice for young musicians out there wanting to cut their teeth in the music scene?
Well, Pastor Paul Cox, when he would talk about working for the Lord, he would say, you just got to hang in there like a hair on a biscuit. And I reckon that that works the same for the music scene. You know, you just got to hang in there. A lot of slow times and rough mornings, and then there will be a good thing come along and keep you going for a little bit longer.
Just to make sure, you said hang on like a hound on a biscuit. Is that what you said?
Like a hair on a biscuit.
Like a hair on a biscuit. I thought you said hound on a biscuit.
Try to get a hair off a biscuit? It's pretty hard. Good biscuit anyways.
I was like, actually hounds like tutors. You know, like my dog would eat tutors up in a second. So if I were to try to take that away from him, he'd be like, no, go away. This is my biscuit now. This is my Dotty.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, well, I think that makes more sense now. okay, so, last couple questions. This weekend, obviously making your NPR music debut on Mountain Stage, are you ready? And what does this mean for you and the band making this appearance?
I hope I'm ready. It's coming. It's closer and closer. It's been a busy month for the whole band. With Craig and Molly moving, and with me getting married, and there's been a lot of stuff going on. But we've tried to get in as much practice as we can, and we've been playing a lot too. So we're at a point now as a band where we're pretty comfortable playing with each other, and the songs that we're playing, pretty excited about it. Really honored that they're going to have us on. It's the biggest four songs we'll ever get to play, probably. It's a really good feeling.
Do you have a crowd favorite or one that you know you're going to be playing on the show this weekend?
Oh.
Or is that a secret?
Yeah, we'll save that for Sunday.
Okay, well, I can't wait for it. And I'll be kind of Adam Harris that night, so I can't wait to, it's going to be just a very interesting show. I can't wait for it to happen. I guess the last thing then, what's next for the band? I see you guys are going to be touring around a little bit, going to some festivals, but are there any other things waiting for you guys?
No, right now we just got some festivals, got Bruce Guys and Well Crafted, Moon Tower in Lexington. We're outside of Lexington. I'm still plugging away on this album, the solo album, hoping to have that out sooner than later. And just taking it one day at a time.
Tyler Childers and the Food Stamps will make their NPR music debut on this Sunday's Mountain Stage in Charleston. If you've yet to buy your tickets, use the code TGIF by midnight tonight, that's Friday, July 24th, for a special BOGO deal. And to hear more WV music, tune in to A Change of Tune, airing Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I'm Joni Deutsch. Thanks for listening.